when I think of edibles, I think basically of mushrooms, but am I wrong to think only in terms of mushrooms?
Mushrooms are a big one, and they're definitely a very popular one. They're not one that I usually teach people or encourage people to try out for your first thing, because so many mushrooms look identical to one another. They can be a harder one to try to differentiate the species. I usually recommend for people to start with plants that they're already very familiar with. So it kind of helps them to be able to correctly identify what they are collecting.
I'm basically a beginner as far as edibles go. So tell me the basics, the plants that I could safely eat that would be easy for me to recognize.
A really good one to start with would be dandelions, because that's something that even as a little kid, you know exactly what a dandelion is, and every part of a dandelion is edible. So the leaves are kind of a very bitter green. So if you like bitter greens, you can collect the dandelion leaves. I've heard of people collecting the flowers and actually dipping them in batter to make fritters. And then the root can be collected and dried out and made. You can call it a tea. Some people call it a coffee substitute. I don't think it really tastes at all like coffee, but it can be used to make kind of an herbal drink.
I've heard about dandelion wine a lot in my life. What's the process of making that?
Now, that one I've actually never made before. I've looked at a few recipes. It's very much the same as any wine recipe. You're going to take the dandelion blossoms. You'll cut them off so that you get rid of all of the green bits, because they're going to have that bitter taste that the leaves do. And then you combine it with, recipes vary, but sugar, whatever kind of yeast or fermenter you're going to be using. And they often put oranges and lemons in it as well.
Okay, well, after dandelions, what should I focus on?
A really cool one that is very timely for fall is acorns. With the acorns, you do have to process them. So there's a lot of different oak trees found here in Kentucky. They all produce acorns. Some are really tiny and some are much larger. And they're all going to have a different level of tannin in them. So tannin, like if you drink tea, you kind of that bitter taste there. Just think of it much more concentrated in an acorn. So in order to be able to use it, you're going to first want to leach the acorn. You can do this in a variety of ways. One way I like to do is basically just have it in water and you change the water multiple times. You'll see the water turning brown, but pouring off those tannins. And depending on the type of acorn you have and the concentration of tannins, this can be a long process. Something I've also heard of people doing is putting them in a bag in a running stream, because then the water will continuously wash through and leach those tannins away. But after you get those tannins leached out, you can then dry them on a low setting in the oven. You can keep them whole at that point and do basically use them like any other nut, or you can grind them up and make acorn flour.
Have you ever had acorn flour?
I have, yeah. I try to make a little bit every year. It's really a good flavor. Trying to think of how to describe it. It is a bit nutty, richer. I make acorn bread with it usually at least once a year. I actually have one of my coworkers request that for his birthday every year. He wants acorn bread and doesn't put no butter, nothing, just take a slice of it. He says it doesn't taste like you even need to put butter on it. It already has a nice rich taste.
Sounds delicious. What other items would be equally yummy that someone could forage for?
There are a few other things to look for here in the fall in Kentucky. I think we might be just getting past really the height of blackberry season, but there's wild blackberries everywhere. So that is also a great wild edible to start with, because it's a familiar fruit that you might have seen in a store before as well, but you can also find it growing out in the wild. Another really cool one is pawpaw. So pawpaw is the largest fruit native to North America. Whenever I talk about it, some people will say like, oh, I've heard of that. Or some people will be like, I didn't know it was real. I just heard the song about the pawpaw patch and I thought it was made up. But they are real out there. The trees are pretty cool looking. They have these really long leaves. It almost looks like a tropical tree that just got dropped here in the middle of Kentucky. And they like to grow in these thick stands. So usually you'll see multiple pawpaw trees all together. And then they have these big oblong green fruits on them. Now, when you think of fruit, often we think of like, you know, an apple, something with kind of a crisp texture. Pawpaw, though, when it's ripe, it's as soft as pudding. Very, very sweet, kind of a tropical banana-y flavor. Very good. And it does lead me to one warning about foraging for wild edibles, is not everyone can eat everything. And sometimes people have allergies or intolerances that you might not even be aware of. For example, I had pawpaws for the first time, I think it was only about 5 years ago. And because I had never eaten that item before, I also discovered that I was intolerant to it.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so that's something to keep in mind that, you know, just like, you know, the things you get from the store, not everyone can eat everything. So to be aware of any allergies and the possibility that you personally just might not be able to eat that item.
Are there any plants that don't have obvious fruits or flowers that just kind of look nondescript that can be edible?
A cool thing that people might not be aware of is violet leaves are edible.
Really?
Now, with violets, you do want to be cautious because while the leaves are edible, the roots are poisonous. So you just don't pull up the roots and add that to your salad, but they're just a dark leafy green that's actually pretty high in things like vitamin A and vitamin C.
And I know you said that mushrooms are something kind of for more advanced people, but mm-hmm. I see a lot of people posting pictures of mushrooms. So I know that you don't want to lead people astray, but are there resources or just places or just any advice you would have for somebody that wants to get into mushroom hunting to help them be safe?
I would definitely recommend that they find somebody else who is foraging, because there's a lot of books and resources out there, but it can be very different seeing something on a page as opposed to seeing it out in the field. So I definitely recommend connecting with somebody else who is also into mushrooms and kind of help learning from them. It's just a good way to go.
Well, is there any other kind of foraged food that I haven't asked you about that you think is interesting that listeners might enjoy hearing about?
I might say persimmons. Yep, persimmons are a fun one. They're another fruit that is going to be ripening up here in the fall. If you've ever seen like the Asian persimmons that are sometimes in the grocery store, our native ones look a lot like that, but a bit smaller. They do get that kind of orangey color on them, and they have a nice sweet flavor, but they are one that you want to be careful of. If someone hands you a persimmon that is perfectly green, you might want to be a little bit cautious. They're a fun one where if you bite into a green persimmon, it basically, your mouth goes completely dry. It's like all of the moisture has just been pulled out. So it's an interesting experience. It won't hurt you or anything, but it's not exactly pleasant when they're green. So you definitely want them to be kind of like that pawpaw where they're very ripe and almost a little bit mushy before they are edible.
Do you ever offer demonstrations or talks at the nature station about foraging?
We do. We have done wild edible hikes in the past, and we have had a couple days. It kind of varies depending on the season, but we've had like a wild edible day in the spring, and we've also done hikes in the fall. That usually in the fall, we focus more on the nut trees that are just so abundant in land between the lakes. But we try to do that.
Well, Shannon, you've given me a lot of wonderful information. Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
Just kind of a general thing I always say when people are asking about foraging is that you do want to have caution. There's a lot of edible things out there. You always want to be certain of your identification. You want to kind of know what's happening in that area. Like, for example, you don't want to go somewhere that has just been sprayed with pesticide or herbicide. You want to know that you have permission to harvest in that particular area as well. That's one reason why I do kind of always suggest people kind of starting in your own backyard, because you know exactly what's going on there. You can watch that plant over the course of a season and just try to enjoy all of the goodies that you can find out in nature.